Thank you very much. That was very good. And I appreciate you using your talent for the Lord. Take your Bible just for a moment and turn back to Proverbs chapter number 12, and we'll work our way up to Proverbs 17. And I'm not going to preach verse by verse. Amen. Some of you looked concerned. I want to read you something. I rarely read from the pulpit as far as read outside sources, but this was something that, well, I've known it for some time. I didn't really know percentages and different things, and this is just a source or a resource, and so I'm not sure that I'm going to go 100% with it. I do believe that there are some good information here, and I want to share it with you. Now, before I get started, I want to kind of place a disclaimer out there. I'm not saying that if you're sick tonight, the reason you're sick is because you're not right with God. That is not what I'm going to preach. And so if you get that from what I preach tonight, it's because you put something into it. Because I do not believe that. Okay? Now, can someone be sick by not being right with God? Yes. Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because some of the folks there in Corinth would not honor God, especially at the table, he said many are sick. All right? And so our disposition, our approach to life can determine if we're going to have a merry heart. And that's what I want to talk to you about. How's your heart? You know, I've been preaching on Wednesday night some on the heart. And when we think about the heart, a lot of times we think about the organ that's in our chest that pumps the blood and that, you know, circulates and is oxygenated through the chambers and different things. And that is not what the Bible's speaking of at all. It's not. We looked in the Bible and we saw when God refers to the heart, God is referring, well, he's referring to the wellspring of life in a sense. He's referring to the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He's referring to the emotions that God gives man. And he's referring to that center of the seed of man where his will and desire is carried out. And God deals with the heart. As a matter of fact, when God begins to deal with man, he starts with the heart, because it's with the heart man believeth. That's right. It's with the heart. God deals with the heart. And when we repent, God wants us to repent in our heart. He wants us to repent in our mind, and he wants us to repent in our ways. God expects total and full repentance in order for us, as we exercise our faith, to be saved. And so God deals with the heart. Now, I read some interesting things. I've known this for some time. I did not know some depth to what I'm getting ready to read unto you. Many of you probably know this. This is not going to be new to you, but I think sometimes we need to be reminded. I think we need to be reminded that our disposition, our perspective in life, our walk with God or lack thereof can bring about a lot of sadness in our life. It can bring about a lot of physical need in our life, even sickness. In this book, this man discusses a sickness that he refers to by EII. EII is emotionally induced illness. This is a doctor. People are sick physically, but it is their emotions that have made them ill. Now, I believe that with all of my heart. Now, to what percentage? I'm going to read you some percentages that come from some very renowned clinics. One in New Orleans, another at Yale University Medical School. And I just want you to listen. I just want you to listen to what these doctors, or these leading doctors in studies. Now, this is not just something they're just kind of pulling out there and throwing out there. These people have zero, to my knowledge, they have zero understanding of what the spirit of man is and how that man's relationship with God affects every area of our life. You know, when Paul in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, he said, I pray God your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible speaks about us being a triune being because we are made in the image of God, who is a triune God. Now, he's not three gods. He's one God who manifests himself eternally into three persons. And we are made up of those three components because we are made in the image of God. Man is born with a dead spirit, and that spirit needs to be quickened in order for us to establish a relationship with God, and that can only happen through Jesus Christ. And so our perspective in life and the way that we allow our burdens to be dealt with and the way we deal with our burdens has a lot to do with the way we feel. One doctor made this statement at a well-known clinic in New Orleans, and he said this. He said, I've tested 500 consecutive patients who had been admitted with gastrointestinal problems. After the examinations, it was my conclusion that 74% of those patients had EII, emotionally induced illness. Another from Yale Medical School, University of Yale Medical School, concluded again that 70% of those coming to a department that they were conducting a similar study had sickness that was emotionally induced illness. A leading doctor at Yale Medical School said, one of the problems that doctors face is that we are afraid to tell the patient that they have an emotionally induced illness for fear that they will become angry and demand another doctor. It is hard for a person to admit that their illness is induced or self-inflicted from emotional disorder. He went on to give educated guess of the percentages of those with different illnesses who are in reality suffering from emotional induced illness. For example, he said that approximately 75% of stiffness in the back of the neck is caused by EII. A good percentage of lumps in the throat, difficulty swallowing, and approximately 50% of all the patients that he has seen that has light pain in their stomach is caused by emotionally induced illness. So I don't believe that. Well, that's okay. I'm not preaching the Bible. Now, when I start preaching the Bible, you're going to believe it. I hope you do. I'm just telling you what some doctors are saying. And brethren, there's people who can worry themselves sick. The old timers used to make that kind of statement. You're worrying yourself sick. There's people that are living outside the will of God. There's people that are going against the clear teachings of the Scripture. And please listen to me, young people. You do not have to be in your 60s, 70s, 80s. You do not have to have white hair and wrinkled skin in order to have an emotional disorder. When God speaks to your heart and you realize the right way and the wrong way, and you're intent on doing it the wrong way, and you are absolutely, you're stubborn, and you're saying, I'm not going to do it God's way, I'm going to do it my way, you're going to answer to God for that. And one of the ways that God allows men to suffer from his decision is through their physical bodies. There are people that have mental disorders, and again, nobody leave here and say, well, my preacher said if somebody has a mental disorder, it's because they're not right with God. Your preacher is not preaching that. But I am telling you that there are people that are not right with God who are suffering mentally because, solely because, they will not get right with God. Now, I wonder if somebody here tonight could be one of those people that you have made up your mind, I'm not going to serve God with my life. You have come to the place in your life where you say, I'm going to do life my way. It doesn't matter what God says. I'm here to tell you, God will let you do it your way. But it does matter what God says. And you will suffer the consequences for your deliberate disobedience against the revealed will of God. And so will I. Sometimes we wonder because God doesn't kill us or God doesn't put us in some terrible car crash or one of our children don't fall deathly ill that we've got away with our sin. You might be having some stomach cramps because of your sin. You say, I don't believe that, preacher. Well, that's okay. I'm going to show you from the Bible where your spiritual disposition has a lot to do with the way you feel. The Bible says so. Again, if you have a situation, a physical situation in your life, if you have a sickness in your life, I'm not telling you that it is because you're not right with God. I'm telling you it could be. Only you can answer that question for you, and only I can answer that question for me. So I guess where we should start is right here. Are you right with God? Are you running from God? Are you where God demands and commands you to be? Are you obedient to the clear teachings of God's Word? Has God shown you truth that you refuse to line up with? As far as you know, could you stand before this congregation of people tonight if we were called upon one by one and I started and I said, God is my witness. There is no unconfessed, known sin in my life. All is clear between me and my Savior. I'm not perfect by no means. I have failed the Lord many times, but God knows my heart. I have no ill will toward my brother. I have no ill will toward any man. And I am in the will of God, and I am doing what God has called me to do. I have made confession for my soul. I am clean. The record is clean as I stand before you tonight. There is no unconfessed sin in my life. If I were to ask, and each one of us came one by one, could we stand and do that? Now, if you can't and you think you're okay, you're not okay. And I'm trying to help somebody here. You're not okay. It's not okay to harbor unconfessed sin in our lives, brethren. And somehow we've got this thing. Well, you know what? I've gotten by this far. Have you? Have you? Do we get by? We cannot sin and get by. And so it is God's desire for his people to be happy. And so I don't believe that. Well, I'm going to show you in the Bible. God wants you to be full of joy. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to give you joy. Now listen to me. He said, I'm going to give you my joy. You know what kind of joy Jesus has? In Hebrews chapter 12, the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. That's right. All that he knew he was going to face, all the sin of all the world, of all of time, was going to be placed on him. And he counted that joy, that he could do his Father's will. That's the kind of joy that Jesus can put in your heart and mine. That's the kind of joy that Jesus wants you to have and me to have. God wants my life to be full of his joy. Even in times of difficulty and suffering, God wants me to be full of joy. He wants you to be full of joy too. And so let's just take a look at some of these other scriptures here about our sickness, about our disposition, about our perspective, our mindset, the way we approach life, the way we approach every day. Do you get up and it takes you forever to get going? Are you always dragging? Now listen, you may have a physical condition, but you may have a spiritual condition. Okay? I'm just saying. Are you always complaining? Is there something always wrong? Does nobody ever do it good enough? Are you always correcting everything that happens and that everybody presents? That is a terrible way to live life. God never intended his children to live that way. As a matter of fact, you're in Proverbs 12. In Proverbs 12, please look if you would in verse number 25. Proverbs 12, 25. Notice what the scripture says. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. What are you saying, Solomon? He's saying that, you know what? There's a burden in the soul that you better tend to. There's this heaviness in the heart. And when you look that word heart up, it means all that we said it meant, but it leans toward the intellect. It leans toward the thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If he's always thinking critical, if he's always thinking discouraging, if he's always seeing the dark side, if he's always seeing the half empty side, if he's always seeing the fault in others, if he's always pointing out the two things that are wrong instead of the 98 things that are right, he said that kind of heaviness will get you down. It will stoop your heart. It'll make you have a wrong perspective of life. And that's what he's saying. Notice again what he said. I've looked these words up. Heaviness means anxiety, fear, worry, sorrow, to take thought. And Jesus said, take no thought, when he was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Don't you take thought to some things. In other words, he said, the worrying is only going to shorten your years. It's only going to make you miserable. When you worry and when you are full of anxiety, when you will not trust, when you have unnecessary fear, or you are conjuring fear or storing fear in your heart and mind, it's going to cost you physically. And he said, heaviness. Look it up. Heaviness. The word stoop there, when he said heaviness in the heart, and I've told you what the word heart, we went through this when we were back in Proverbs 4, and I've been doing a lot of studying on the heart in my study. And I tell you now, God, that's where God wants to make some things right with you. You say, well, I've got some situations, maybe it's financially, maybe it's maritally, and I know that I'm preaching on the home on Sunday evenings, and you're saying, well, what's this have to do with the home? We get our hearts right, our homes will be right. God has just so made this so clear in my mind, clearer than it's ever been made. Our homes will never be right until our hearts are right. Never. Our families will never be right. We'll never have the fullness of joy that Jesus intends for us to experience in our salvation until we get our heart right. And our heart is our way of thinking. Our heart is the way that the wellspring of life. It's the deep inner part of man that deals with God, that sees God with the eyes of the heart, the eyes of the understanding. And so he said here, heaviness, anxiety. Let's look at it. Verse 25, heaviness, which is anxiety, fear, sorrow, worry, taking thought. Heaviness, it dominates all your thoughts. All your thoughts. It's just worry all the time. It's just negativity all the time. That heaviness, he said, that's what that word heaviness, it has the word, look it up, it has the word dominance attached to it. It just dominates your thought life. Just always the perspective of, well, you know, if it is a good day. And he said that kind of heaviness, will look at what he said, it will make the heart stoop. The word stoop means to be bowed low. Is your heart heavy? Is your heart bowed low? Now listen, God cares when your heart is bowed low. He does. And God wants you to have joy. That's why he said, notice if you would in verse number 25 there, but a good word maketh it glad. Someone comes along and tells you, maybe they comfort you or console you, and they let you know, listen, God loves you. Listen, try to think and look on this side of that situation instead of where you're looking. Don't view life through that lens. And maybe the Word of God is preached, or you're reading in your devotional time and God gives you a word of encouragement from your personal reading, your devotional reading, or you listen to preaching or teaching, or you have a friend who consoles you. And that's what is being taught here. And so this deals with the burdens of the soul. It's a mindset. It's a perspective. Can I ask you what your perspective is tonight? Is it heavy? When you look around you, do you let the cares of this old world get into your mind? Man, brethren, this world is out of control. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you can have peace in the midst of chaos. Amen. You can have joy in the midst of all that's going on. God can give you joy right in the center of a storm. God can give you joy. I pray that you have it. I do. I want you to have joy. But it's not about what I want. God wants you to have the joy of Jesus in your life. There's nothing like it. You say, I know what it is, preacher. I used to have it. Oh, how I pray that tonight somebody would come back to that place, that source of joy. That source of joy. Now let's move to another scripture. All right, move over, if you would, to chapter 15. Proverbs 15. So not only is the soul, that heaviness, the soul of man, or the mindset. But notice what the next step now. This is the next step. Look, if you would, in Proverbs 15. Let's begin in verse number 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, boy, listen to this, the spirit is broken. I tell you right now, it's one thing to have a burdened soul, but if you have a broken spirit, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Have you ever met anybody with a broken spirit? If you say, I don't know, you haven't. You haven't. When a person's spirit is broken, it's almost like they've lost their desire to even get out of bed. Now, we have medical names for that. We have names. Some people call it depression. Some people call it despondency. Some people call it psychosomatic. I mean, they have all of these terms and all these things. But I'm going to tell you what God said. Okay? God said this. He said, sorrow of the heart causes the spirit to be broken. When you look into the eyes of a person with a broken spirit, you don't see much. As a matter of fact, you see someone that's just about given up. It's a very, very sad thing to look into the eyes of someone who has reached this point. But now it starts back in verse number 12, where people are doing nothing but worrying and full of anxiety and just taking thought of everything that they have absolutely no control over. Jesus said, don't you take thought of that. Don't you even give a second thought to that. That's what he's saying. And he said, if you allow this to control your perspective, your mindset, it's going to cause your heart to stoop. And the next step, look at it here, verse number 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but that stooped heart, that heart that is full of sorrow, can lead to a spirit that is broken. That's a terrible place to be. I pray you would never get there. I do. I pray you'd never get to the place to where you just give up and you say, well, you know, God can't use me. God has nothing for me. The devil will tell you on a routine basis, perhaps there's somebody here. Listen, I've been in some dark places in my life. And the devil will tell you that kind of stuff. God doesn't love you. You don't make a difference. Who are you that God would answer your prayer? You need to be real careful. I can't tell you the people that I've sit across from with a broken spirit, and it broke my heart. It broke my heart because they had a broken spirit. Seems like nothing you can tell them can console them. You don't want to go there. That's a dark place. But when we do not keep fresh accounts with God, now please listen to me. When we will not walk in the light as He is in the light, when we refuse to follow the clear instruction of His Word, we can find ourselves in a place of darkness. And the Scripture goes on to say, look at verse number 14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, with the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Which is it for you? Do you have a merry heart? I ask you that question to get started. If you do, you have a continual feast. Let me tell you what that means. Continual means daily, perpetual, evermore, definite, with an extension. Feast is a banquet to drink, to irrigate, to furnish, to enjoy your best life. The world thinks they're having a big party. They don't know what a party is. When you're walking in the Spirit, are you listening to me? When you're walking in the Spirit, when you're drinking from the cup, are you listening? Now that is a party. That's what that word means. That word feast, look it up. It's a banquet. I mean, God is just setting the table, brother. I wonder if God's setting your table. Have you pulled up to the King's table? Do you realize whose family you're in? Do you realize who serves you? The same Jesus that served his apostles served his disciples. I'm one of them. Do you realize who you are in Christ? There's no need to have a stooped heart or a sorrowful heart, a broken spirit, a burdened soul. Only a wrong heart would feel that way. Only a heart that is clouded with sin and doubt and worry and distrust could get to that place. Please don't get there. You say, well, preacher, I would never get there. Well, I hope that you wouldn't. I hope that you never do. But now, if you're sitting here tonight, or perhaps someone has even joined us by live stream, and you say, you know what, I'm not that happy. Well, I'm not saying that I wake up happy. I'm not saying that I stay happy all the day, but there is a continual joy in my heart. There is a wellspring of water. I mean, it is just springing up in my soul. And when I get to the place to where my heart begins to stoop, there's this still small voice inside of me that reminds me who I am. But more importantly, it reminds me whose I am. I belong to the Master. The scripture, when it talks about this being afflicted, notice it in verse number 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil. But he that is of a merry heart, you have that merry heart? That word merry means rejoicing, full of rejoicing, merry. You have a merry heart? I hope that you do. One of the things that can happen when we allow ourselves to drift is we lose that fellowship, that source of the joy. And we find ourselves, well, maybe in a place that we know we shouldn't be, spiritually. And our soul becomes burdened, not burdened from the need of others or burdened because of the sin of others, but burdened because of our sin. There's a difference. And our heart begins to stoop, and if we continue in that state and we don't minister to ourselves and encourage ourselves in the Lord or receive encouragement from others, God wants to bring us out of that. But if we continue in that state and we close everyone out, even God, then our heart will begin to stoop lower and lower. And the Bible says here, it'll break our spirit. And that's a serious thing. It's a serious thing. You don't want your spirit to be broken. You don't. And I don't want your spirit to be broken. And God doesn't want your spirit to be broken. Your spirit doesn't have to be. What's the next step, preacher? Well, if you would, I want to mention some things here before we turn to our final scripture. I read this and I just really liked it. It said, years may wrinkle the skin, but to give up the enthusiasm of life wrinkles the soul. Have you lost your zest? Have you lost the thrill of it all? When you think about being a Christian, do your eyes well up with tears? Does God squeeze your heart? When you think about where God found you, when I think about where God has brought me from, when I think about all that God has done for me, does it fill my heart with thanksgiving? Or do I somehow get an attitude that, well, maybe I deserve that. Maybe I had that coming to me. Nothing bad happened. Maybe it was time for something good to happen. I pray that no one here would ever have that attitude. Years, as I said, may wrinkle the skin, but to give up enthusiasm of life wrinkles the soul. Worry, doubt, self-distrust, fear, despair, these are the long, long years that bow the head and break the spirit. When you just continually go against what God says, when you continually say, I'm going to live life my way, when you continually disregard the clear teachings of the Word of God. And brethren, we're living in a day where people do that. I don't want to do that, and I know you don't want to do that. But there's an enemy that's tempting us. Start your day without God. You don't need God today. Don't pray. Just pray when there's a crisis. Don't pray the prayer of thanksgiving. Just pray the prayer of God, help me, instead of God, thank you for helping me. And so I just pray you will not get to a place of a broken spirit. Let me close with this. Now, I'm not going to close. This is for tonight, because I want to get into this a little bit. I want to get into why should I have a merry heart. Oh, there's many reasons. But tonight I want to tell you how to have a merry heart. Look, if you would, in Proverbs 17, verse number 22. Proverbs 17, 22. Pastor David read this in here. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Did you notice the progression there? It started out with the burdened soul. heaviness in the heart. And then it went to a broken spirit. But look what a broken spirit does. It dries the bones. It affects you physically. You ever feel like your bones have dried up? You stiffed up, can't hardly move, you know, in traction. You say, I thought that was just called getting old, Pastor. Well, you know, it has a little something to do with it, amen. But you know, to dry the bones here, it speaks of this. I wrote some things down about that before I give you some good news. This hasn't been very good news, but I hope that you have taken into account to know that God doesn't want you in this place. God wants us to have the merry heart. The word dryeth there, it means confused or disappointed, to dry up or to wither, and it's almost the exact opposite. Remember that continual feast that was springing with wells of water? This is almost the exact opposite direction. Instead of a continual feast where there's celebration and joy, there's a drying of the bones where there is no feast, there is no banquet, there is no excitement, there is no celebration. It's just no joy. I've lost my joy. It's kind of like the children of Israel when they hang their harps upon the willow trees. They lost their song. Don't lose your song, brethren. Don't lose your song, please. You don't have to. Now, the devil wants to steal your song, but you don't have to let him take it. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So a burdened soul leads to a broken spirit, and a broken spirit, well, just wears you down physically, dries up the bones. That's what the book says. I wonder if you've lost the zest, the thrill, the excitement. Has there ever been a time in your life as you turn to John? I'm just going to read you some scripture before we close. John chapter number 15. Has there ever been a time in your life where you were so excited that you got to serve Jesus? I get to serve Jesus. Amen. I get to serve the Lord. Are you still there? Does this still excite you to witness to people? When you hear about people getting saved? When you hear about people getting right with God? Did it excite you the fact that you were going to get to come to church tonight? Was this a delight or a duty to you? I'm not being mean. I'm just asking you some honest questions. I'm not trying to shame or guilt anyone. I'm just asking you in your heart, what's going on in your heart? How is your heart? Is it merry? Is it heavy? How is your spirit? Is it a continual feast? Is it broken? How's your body? Does it have the vigor of the joy of the Lord, though it may have wrinkles, though it may have some stiffness, but there's still that desire to serve Jesus with what's left? Well, in John chapter 17, did I say 17? I meant 15. I hope I said 15. What did I say, 15? Good. I was right. Again, amen. Write that down, Cher. John 15, notice if you would in verse number 11, Jesus made this statement, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." See, that's what Jesus wants for you. And don't you let anyone tell you any different. Jesus wants his joy. He said, I want my joy to be in you. Not just any joy. I want my joy to be in you, and I want your joy to be full. You say, well, what about trials, preacher? What about life? It hits us sometimes. It knocks us down. Well, listen, you can experience joy. You can experience peace even in the midst of trials. You can. Turn over, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter number 5, would you just turn there? And these are some scriptures that we'll be looking at in some of our future studies. Galatians 5, you're familiar with this. Galatians 5, verse number 22. There's a fruit. You know, when you think of fruit, you think of life and growth, and right? You think of freshness. The fruit of the Spirit keeps it fresh. When I'm walking in the Spirit, when I'm being led of the Spirit, when I'm living in the Spirit, just keeps it fresh for me. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And look at it, joy. There it is, right there, joy. Peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. He said, this is where it's at, believer. Right here. This is where it's at. Vigor, zest, excitement. And then finally in Ephesians chapter 5, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Say, Pastor, I thought we were going to hear preaching on the home in these summer messages, and I have been preaching on the home. I hope you've been listening. I'm getting ready to preach on the home again right now. You have a merry heart? Your home will never be merry until your heart's merry. It never will be. Notice, if you would, verse number 18, it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Sounds like somebody's got some joy flowing. Sounds like somebody has a merry heart. How's that going to translate into the home? Wives will be submitting themselves unto their husbands, their own husbands, as unto the Lord's. Husbands, well, they are the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, if the church is subject unto Christ, it'll be a joy for their wife to be subject unto their husbands and everything. You say, it didn't say that. Yeah, it did. You just didn't read it right. It's a joy. Husbands, verse 25, when you're full of the joy of the Lord and your heart is merry, you'll love your wife like Christ loves you. You say, I said, love the church. Are you part of the church? You see, when your heart is full of joy, it makes the home full of joy. But when your heart is heavy and stooped, it resonates throughout your living room and your bedrooms and your dining rooms and your kitchen. And it permeates your home. And it's just difficult to delight in the love of the Lord when your heart is stooped that way. When your heart is full of joy, the joy of the Lord. And when you delight in His law, and when you desire what God desires, and you say, God, I want my home to reflect you and what you want and not me and what I want. Well, then this is what happens. And it even goes right on down. And wives, husbands, then in chapter number 6, it says, now children, you know what will happen when your heart is merry? When the joy of the Lord is in your heart, you'll be obeying your parents. You will. Because your heart will be merry like a medicine. It'll work a medicine. It's like taking a medicine. It'll make you do this and make you feel better. Isn't that what medicine is designed to do? To change us? Come on, brethren. Amen. And a merry heart will change you. You say, well, I've got some shortcomings. I've got some things that need to be fixed. Did you take your medicine? What is the medicine? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God wants you to have a merry heart. I want to ask you to stand to your feet. Do you have a merry heart? Do you? Now, it'd be easy to just say, well, I do. I have a merry heart. I'm about as happy as a I don't know, June bug on a June tree, juniper tree, right? But are you happy? I mean, are you merry? Is everything okay between you and God? Now, only you know that. I don't know what's in your heart. And even if I did, I don't know that I could do much about it. I certainly, you know, try to help you if you needed help. But this is kind of a God and I thing, you know, where I need to do some business with God. Maybe you need to do some business with God. And we just need to ask ourselves some really tough questions. Is my heart merry or heavy? Is my spirit feasting or famishing? Are my bones ready to go and serve God? Are they dried? And, oh boy, here we go. Church again. I guess I better hide away for a little while so I can study my Sunday school lesson. And we got music practice again tonight. You can lose the thrill of it all. And I'm just asking you, please consider, please, that it doesn't have to be that way. God wants you to have joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Let's bow our heads together.